Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hello, my podcast friends. I hope you guys are doing well and ready and excited about the next class of anticoagulants. All right, so today we'll be talking about the factor 10A inhibitors. And the drugs in this class are apixaban, betrixaban, edoxaban, and rivaroxaban. There's also fondaparinux, and remember that is a synthetic heparin, so it doubles up as a heparin. We talked about it in the heparin class, but it also falls into this class too. Now, before I tell you exactly what it is that they do, though the name tells you, it's a factor 10A inhibitor. Let's talk about who in the world is factor 10A. So, on a normal working day in your body, let's say there's a bleed and your body is freaking out thinking it needs to make a clot because if it doesn't, you're about to bleed out on it, all right? So the clever processes of your body, they start what we call the coagulation cascade. It gets turned on, which is a step process, and it's a lot like a domino effect. You know, when one domino falls and it hits the next and then the next and then the next. Yes, the coagulation cascade is a step process. And there are two pathways. There's the extrinsic pathway and the intrinsic pathway, but both pathways converge at factor 10. So all roads will end at factor 10. Factor 10 getting activated. And that's why you're seeing this is called the factor 10A inhibitor. A is for activated, all right? So why is factor 10A important? Well, the reason is that for a clot to be formed, factor 10A is what will turn on thrombin. So if I inhibit factor 10A, it will block the block the interaction with thrombin. If I have no thrombin, then fibrinogen does not change into fibrin. And fibrin is what we want in the clot. It is that spaghetti mesh thing on the clot to make it strong. And if I block off factor 10A, then the clot is not formed, which is what we want with our stroke patients, right? So again, our brilliant scientists, as they discovered all this cascade stuff, they were like, so if we can block factor 10A, it won't matter which pathway the body used to get there, right? So if I just block factor 10A, it doesn't matter what happened before, no clot is going to be formed, which is perfect. It's what we want, right? So for a stroke patient, you want to prevent clots from forming. Remember that. That's the whole point we're doing this, right? Because if I have a clot, it's going to block the way for the blood that has nutrients and oxygen into my brain cells. And if my brain cells do not have oxygen or food, you're dead. All right? Okay. So again, for stroke patients, you want to prevent clots from forming. And once that is blocked, then the common pathway to making a clot gets disrupted and voila, no clot is formed. So keeping in mind that you will see these drugs used in other disease states. For example, atrial fibrillation, which by the way is the most common cause of strokes. You'll see them used in venous thromboembolism, which is a fancy way of saying that the clot started in the vein. You will see them used in prophylaxis after knee or hip replacement, right? So we may be talking about them in as far as strokes are concerned, but they are used in other disease states, okay? So this class is pretty new. And when I say pretty new, I mean keeping in mind that these other drugs like heparin and warfarin were back in the 1960s, 1950s. These are drugs that were discovered in the 2000s. So you see, they're very new. I know they're 23 years old or so, less than that. But so rivaroxaban was the first in this class to be made and marketed. And I think all these drugs obviously have been all been approved in the 2000s. So they're pretty new, okay? All right, when it comes to side effects, remember, the job of this drug is to prevent clot formation. Therefore, inherently, it increases the risk of bleeding. So you want to make sure that your patient is advised on making sure that there's no bleeding that is happening that is abnormal, like when I brush my teeth, I'm bleeding, or, you know, when I go to the bathroom, my urine or my stool is red. You know, those are the things that you want to make sure that they're not bleeding out on. So the most serious bleeding event associated with this is intracranial bleeding, which is a fancy way of saying you're bleeding inside your skull, and you do not want that, okay? The other thing to check out with this drug is if your patient is renally declined, their renal function is declined, you need to make sure that you check to see that the dose is adjusted to be able to take the drug, okay? So declined renal function, please check to see whether we need to be reducing that dose. They are metabolized via the CYP3A4 substrate. And if you remember that, that's in the liver, that's how it gets metabolized. And CYP3A4 is so popular. Everybody, as far as drugs are concerned, loves CYP3A4. So when I say metabolized through CYP3A4, I hope your brain is going ding, 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 ding. I need to check for drug-drug interactions because they're not the only ones that goes through CYP3A4. All right. So far I've told you, decline renal function, check to see whether I need to decrease that dose. Is the patient bleeding? Have you told them what to look out for? CYP3A4, drug-drug interactions, because there are many. Now, the other, remember I told you that warfarin was, for a long time, has been the only oral anticoagulant? Well, warfarin has a competitor in this class because they are oral anticoagulants. And so the advantage of our warfarin is that I don't need to be monitoring the INR. I don't have to worry about foods that are rich in vitamin K. And the only biggest advantage it used to have was that they did not, this drug class did not have an antidote. In the event of a life-threatening bleed, you know, like that intracranial, they did not have an antidote. But today, I am happy to say they discovered it. And the antidote is, andexanate alpha. I think it was approved by the FDA in 2018 or thereabouts. So andexanate alpha, all right? But even if we still have the antidote, I would still make sure you advise your patients that before having surgery or any medical or dental procedure, especially if it has to do with the spine, you know, like, or epidural, to tell their doctor or their dentist they're on this drug so they can be advised on if they need to have stopped the drug from taking the drug prior to the procedure. You know, they might be advised that do not take your apixaban for 24 hours before the procedure. All right. So those are the factor 10A inhibitors. Remember, we're still looking at the coagulation cascade. It's one of the members. Factor 10A is one of the members, a very major member of the cascade where all roads lead there. And so these drugs block that. And as far as patient care is concerned, renal function, liver, drug-drug interactions, bleeding. But the good news is that now we have an antidote, but still make sure they know that before they have any kind of procedure to make sure that the doctor or dentist is aware of it. So that's it. Factor 10A inhibitors. I'm sure next we'll be talking about, I think it's the last class coming up on the anticoagulants. All right. Till next time, stay inquisitive. I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.